This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, the Memorial of St. Padre Pio, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be accepted in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think if you would pose that question to Padre Pio, he would ponder that for a little while, thinking about whether or not his burden is easy and light. Because you look at Padre Pio, probably one of the most saintly men of modern history, if not throughout all of history. You look at a man who, his vocation started off when he was a very young boy with a vision of his combat against Satan. This is how it all started. This dream that he has that set the stage for a life of combat with Satan. Because after that dream, it wasn't a matter of him vanquishing Satan and they, oh, good job. Now you can be a really holy priest and you have stigmata and everybody will love you from henceforth. His life from that point where he initially overcame in a single battle with Satan, a whole life of warfare took place after that. A life of disappointment, a life of struggle, a life of physical pain. We have to appreciate that about Padre Pio's life. I mean, I think in so many of us, we hear that Padre Pio, we just kind of leave it at Padre Pio, nice little monk who lived and heard confessions in Italy, to think about the man's life. Oh my gosh, if my burden is easy and light, like I said, I think Padre Pio would debate that. But Padre Pio knew that he had his eyes focused on something, something that was past this world. He knew that he was in a combat, not for his own soul, because that was part of it, but for the souls of others. He was what is referred to as a victim soul. When our Lord chooses people to be a victim soul, and that's his choice, one of the most dangerous things that you can possibly consider in this world is to offer yourself up as a victim for this, that, or the other thing. Like our Lord looking at his apostles, you know not what you ask. When we look at what Padre Pio did for other souls, it can sound glorious because we know him as Saint Padre Pio. He wasn't always. And to earn that title, and he did earn it, the things that he endured. And we think about, you know, it started out, his vocation started by a dream, a vision of this combat with Satan. And we know the stories. If you study his life, you know the stories about the physical assaults that the demons levied on the man. I mean, he was bruised from head to toe. He was slammed to the floor in the monastery so hard one time that the floors shook downstairs. And our Lord protected him because all he got that time was a split head and just needed to get some stitches for it. It shook the monastery. Satan and monasteries in Europe, they're built solid, okay? And he's thrown to the floor to where it shook the foundations. We hear things like that, or the, oh yeah, yeah, you know, that must have been horrible, him fighting demons. We are so disassociated from that. We so lack appreciation in what it is to fight demonic forces that we disconnect. Demonic forces are a real thing. We look at Padre Pio physically being assaulted by the demonic. I don't know if I could do that or not. I know I couldn't. I can't even stand up to temptations, okay? I can't stand up to temptations, and this man's getting thrown around physically. I'm not even at that level of being able to withstand suggestions from much less their physical assaults on me. And again, we have a disconnect with this whole spiritual thing. But when you look at his life, that is really sort of an ancillary issue to what he put up with in this world. We always seem to sort of gravitate toward the demonic and the scary shadows that I see at night and noises I can't explain, and I throw holy water all over the place and call priests in to bless the house, which is good. That's a great thing, all right? Let's take it down a couple notches and worry about fighting things like temptations, okay? If you look at Padre Pio's life, these assaults that we hear, these dramatic events, there are several. The man lived his life under the assaults that came in the guise of people who wanted to dishonor him, people who wanted to call into question the graces that our Lord was showing him. This is what we generally deal with when family members rebel in the church, they rebel against parents. They start living in godless pagan lifestyles and things like that. That is a temptation. It is a temptation to start to look elsewhere. Because I love that person. I don't want anything, I don't want to serve a faith that said that they might go to hell. That's a temptation. Those are the temptations that Padre Pio had to deal with day in and day out. I mean, the man was a priest. And he spent 3 years not celebrating Mass, not hearing confessions, because the church, the authorities in the church, forbade him from doing that. People are paying too much attention to him. And there were all kind of calumnies against him to make them think that their decision was correct. So he doesn't celebrate Mass for years, and he just prays and fights Satan. And people never stop the calumnies against Padre Pio. They never stop criticizing him. Even when things look like they're starting to look up a little bit, Pope Pius XI, he reversed the decision about Padre Pio, and he can start to celebrate Mass. Well, everything must have been up great from that point. No, because Pope John the 23rd, for instance, he seriously questioned the veracity of Padre Pio, and he thought people that followed Padre Pio were deluded. So you have one pope that's positive, and then the next down the line, not. Pope Pius XI. Reversed everything. Pope Pius XII actually directed people to Padre Pio. And John the 23rd, no, he didn't think anything. Paul the VI, he actually started the good ball rolling. He basically just expunged any accusations against Padre Pio. And then Pope John Paul II beatified him and made him a saint. He got beatified and made a saint after he had struggled his entire life of people trying to dishonor him, humiliate him, people calling him into question. Probably, again, he's one of my favorites. He is definitely the most pious saint that has lived in modern times. I would submit to you, maybe in all times, a saint like that put up what he did in this world. This is Satan. This is the demonic nature of the world, sin-cursed and fallen world in which he lived. We have to appreciate the fact that it's going to happen. The only saving grace about the whole thing is the fact that when it does happen, Satan does not have free reign to do whatever he wants to do. As a matter of fact, he has no reign to do anything that he wants to do unless God gives him permission to do so. I mean, he put a serious hurting on Job, and it was all Okay, but don't do that. God continually putting boundaries on what Satan could do to him. God always puts boundaries on what Satan can do in your life. And so it doesn't matter really, is this temptation coming from God or is it coming from Satan? It doesn't make any difference. You just need to withstand it. God may be testing you. God may be correcting you. And if he lets Satan do it, the same thing's happening. It's a test. We've got to pass these tests. This is what Padre Pio did. He passed it with flying colors. He passed a test. When they told him to stop celebrating Mass, I'm going to appeal to the canon lawyers in Rome. He just stopped celebrating Mass and stopped hearing confessions until the Holy Spirit opened the door for him to continue. And also, we shouldn't stand up for ourselves, particularly in the face of unrighteousness. But the more holy you are, the less you'll do that. You'll just acquiesce to God's will. And when we acquiesce to God's will, then we do what he desires. Then we have to appreciate the fact that we're going to be okay because he does all things well. And when we understand that, and we have to believe it, we can say those words. He does all things well until something bad happens in your life, and then all of a sudden it's not, well, he didn't do that too well. Oh, yeah, he did. We just have to conform ourselves to his will and not our own. This is what Padre Pio did. He gave his entire life over to the service of God, and the service of God, he knew, was to exemplify Christ and Christ's love for souls. That's why he had the conversions that he had. That's why people flocked to him to have them hear their confessions. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit bears fruit in an individual's life. They bear fruit. Now, our Lord, you can't judge this heart. You can't judge. No, you're not supposed to. Okay? You're supposed to judge their fruit. This is what our Lord says. And when you have fruit like Padre Pio, it is unmistakable that he should have been a saint. By their fruits, you can judge them. We need to start looking at the fruits around us. And we also have to know that a lot of the stuff that we're putting up with is demonic in nature. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if I didn't shorten the times of the end, even the elect would fall. We're approaching, we're a lot closer to the end times than when Jesus early mentioned, when he used to refer to his day as the last days. We're a lot closer to him now, 2,000 years later, than we were then. You know, and if he tarries 2,000 more years, what is that to us? It's unfortunate, but all the indications are it's going to get worse and worse and worse until even the elect, the most holy of people, could fall. Our Lord's going to shorten the days. He will shorten our days if it happens to us in our lives. He will shorten the days of this world to make sure that it doesn't fall in the hands of Satan. As I said, be assured, Satan does not have free reign. He has no reign at all. He is a mad dog on a very short chain, and God's holding that chain. You get too close to him, guess what? He's going to bite you, all right? You cannot toy with him. But nonetheless, you have to appreciate the fact that for us, our marching orders are to be like Padre Pio. We are all called to be saints, not small s saints, members of the church, saints, capital S. That is what we are supposed to be as Catholics, ever striving to become saints. I actually had somebody share with me one time, they did a presentation at a Catholic church, and there were like 75 men in this presentation, and it was, how many of you want to be saints? And like four hands went up. Four. And a whole room full of Catholic men, purportedly Catholic men. I'm good enough, just doing it. No. That's pathetic. It's pathetic. We're all called to be saints. We have to live our life getting up every day like that, to be like Padre Pio. I'm not saying you need to be a stigmatist or anything like that, but we should pray to be holy. Now, however that manifests itself after you ask for it, that is what we want, no matter what it may cost us. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.